Can't remember the years. And Joe, because of his interest in architecture and history, I got him to be a guide for the tours. He was a natural. A couple of other people from the Parkway Stuyvesant also were guides. So, and then Joe, down the line of some months or maybe a year after we got, after the Central Brooklyn Neighborhood College project, mm-hmm. Joe suggested, or I suggested, because I'd been an aerial photographer in the Navy, that we go up and see if there were any remnants of old roads that you could see from the air that weren't on the maps. Mm-hmm. It weren't the straight lines and the box and the rectangles that the grid, the present-day grid, had. So he liked the idea, and one Saturday we went up. He took I don't know if it was his plane or rented plane from a New Jersey airport. Teterboro comes to mind. Anyway, we went up, and I took pictures. I think David Jones. I eventually married a lady named E. Peggy Jones, who had helped me organize a tenants committee at 959 Park Place. She later became one of the directors of the Weeksville project or society, which followed the project. David Jones came on, I think we did two flights, but he might have come on that first flight. Anyway, not all of my pictures came out well, so Joe went up and, flying the plane with one hand, he took pictures with the other. So that was sort of a striking thing. There weren't that many black pilots in those days, and this had it was rather dramatic. So the New York Times grabbed it and wrote a big story. And that brought a lot of publicity and helped us to begin to get money to do more. But I had been employed by Youth in Action, and they allowed me to concentrate on the project and gave me young people to do. They were always looking for projects that involved neighborhood youth, and this was a good project as long as I could find relevant stuff for them to do, which was not always easy, but we did it. We usually, for a few summers, two or three summers, in neighborhood youth corps kids who were employed by the umbrella of Youth in Action. And there was a man named Timmy Vincent, a former Harlem Globetrotter basketball star, who ran a thing called the Youth Leadership Institute. And I was able to use some of his kids doing different aspects of the research.
Okay.
Eventually, actually doing the digging on the site that was being demolished.
Okay. I see. So who else was on the plane, right? It was you, Joe Haynes, and...
And maybe David Jones. There was no one else.
No one
else. There was a story that there was an Indian on the plane. Barbara Milstein was the curator of anonymous art at the Brooklyn Museum. I think that was her title. She had got a whole lot of busts of people from brownstones, mm-hmm. and other demolished houses, and had put them on in the back of the museum, I think either on the walls or there was a sculpture garden, as I recall it. And she became quite well known that way. And she started that story because I had been in India or Pakistan and India for those previous, you know, 5 years before that. And that was, as far as I can tell, that was how that story, that there was an Indian in the plane. She didn't start it, but somehow probably mentioned the Indian connection with me, and somebody else maybe started that there was an Indian in the plane. The whole story of the plane has gotten very confused. We didn't really find Weeksville from the plane. We did see some things that were interesting, and Hunter Fly Road, which was a 17th century road, Onder Vlie is the Dutch term for to the meadows, and this early road ran from the Jamaica Turnpike, which is more or less Fulton Street, going through Bed-Stuy, and it was the road to Jamaica in the 18th century. And from there, the Hunter Fly Road ran, I guess, southeast to the meadows of flatlands and the southern end of Brooklyn.
Okay.
And eventually we concentrated on four old houses that were still located on the line of that road, off the main grid at an angle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you mentioned a second flight as well.
The second flight, I can't remember whether I went up twice and David came the second time. I can't really remember.
Okay.
It's more than 50 years now, mm-hmm. I think. And it's fuzzy.
Okay.
But I know Joe went up a second time, mm-hmm. and he took the pictures. So I can't remember whether David Jones, who was my stepson, mm-hmm. Peggy Jones's son from a previous marriage, I just can't remember whether he went on the one and only flight I took, or whether I went up a second time,
okay.
as I'm getting rather decrepit now at 83. I can't remember all the details.
Okay. So what were you able to get from the photos that were taken?
Just a general lay of the land, and which pretty much, except for the Hunter Fly Road, and even that was partly on the maps of mm-hmm. We went to the maps from before and after to confirm all. So there wasn't a great deal that we found out from the flights. It was an interesting try, but I don't recall any striking results from the flight. Though when Joe died early, it was a great loss to us, because he had been like an angel, mm-hmm. a guardian angel to Weeksville. He was one of the first members of the board of directors when we organized it, when we incorporated it, at the advice of Judge Williams, who provided a lawyer to do it. Joe was there, and he was always there from the time we started it, soon till He died, I think, about 1997 or so, at the age of 66. He'd been just the person that was always called on to help and was always ready to do it. And he, Joan, who was the director for 30 years or so, 20 or 30 years, just relied on him completely, and he was always, always there to help. So, how did I get on Joe?
Oh, I was asking who was on the flight, and
did we find anything?
Did you find anything?
Yeah. When Joe's obituary came into the New York Times, it had him as having found Weeksville on the flight.
Okay.
Now that Joe was perhaps stayed with Weeksville actively more than any of us, even up to the time he died, even Joan. So he was before Joan, and but unfortunately he left before she left. What was my thought now? That article said that he had discovered Weeksville from the air. It just, you know, it was just an expansion of the stories that had been invented about that flight. The Indian in it, that we discovered this or discovered that. It was a nice thing that we did, trying to, you know, and it brought attention and eventually probably affected the funding that it was. We used to get funding from every organization that that was involved in historical things, including the National Endowment for the Humanities, I think once the National Endowment for the Arts, the Astor Foundation. There's a list of at least a dozen foundations that gave money. And this story of the airplane was an interesting part of it. It was certainly a useful thing to do. It may not have produced dramatic results, but it certainly did get attention.
Okay.
And we needed attention because we were nobodies. Shirley Chisholm always helped us, the local congresswoman from Bed-Stuy, and the local politicians eventually got on board once they saw it was had a popular appeal. So the flight was important in that it attracted interest, and they could find that we were serious. We were doing archaeology, and we had professional archaeologists helping us. Professor Bert Salwin of NYU sent two of his students to help, one of whom he eventually married. And Ed Rutsch of Fairleigh Dickinson University was a very well-known specialist in salvage archaeology, which is what we were doing. Michael Cohn of the Brooklyn Children's Museum was there. I guess he was on the edge of archaeology and museum studies and history. In that area, he was a curator there, and he came over and helped us. So we had the professionals helping in that eventual effort to find things on the site that might be clues to the existence and the history of Weeksville.
Okay.
It was a village which seemed to have started sometime after the ending of slavery in New York, 1827, the formal ending, and probably 1830s or early 40s, it became known as Weeksville, mm-hmm. and lasted as an area, as a named area. As far as we could tell, as far as I can tell, I haven't talked to Jennifer Scott. There may have been a lot more research done since my time. But probably it was known as the Weeksville area into the 1880s, maybe 90s. But when Judge O.D. Williams lived there in the 1920s, I don't think the name, as I remember him talking about it, he vaguely knew of it. But he was a great help in organizing what became known as the Society, the Weeksville Society. Dolores invented the name the Society for the Preservation of Weeksville and Bedford-Stuyvesant History. Mm-hmm. It's now been changed to Weeksville Heritage Center, but what was known as the project, our earliest entity for the first couple of years, was just the Weeksville Project in Youth in Action. And then it became, Judge Williams got us incorporated as the Weeksville Society, which is sort of a board of directors of the Weeksville Project, and the entity which could take ownership of any artifacts we found or any mm-hmm. history results and keep them into the future. The project was just a year-to-year thing mm-hmm. that was funded by different organizations
okay.
for the first year.